Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I've been working on a project to make some end tables, a coffee table, and a couch table for my wife. We have an old barn, and downstairs there is a lot of very old, very crusted over wood that happens to be beautiful wormy chestnut. And when I plane it off and work with it, it becomes just the most gorgeous furniture in the world. And so yesterday, I finished the coffee table and I brought it in, and Sherry was excited, which I'm always grateful about. And if I get a new piece of furniture for Sherry or she gets a new piece of furniture, it's a reason to rearrange the whole house, which is kind of fun. I know it comes with bringing something new into the house. And so she was just so delighted in pulling things together. And she found this plaque, this beautiful plaque, to put on the couch table. And the plaque actually said, "Let us be silent that we may hear the whispers of God." That's a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. It's a good quote. How do we eliminate some of the noise of our lives so that we're sure that we're hearing God's whisper? The basic principle of this particular quote is that we're so busy and we have so many other voices and activities in our lives that often we miss what God is doing. Well, I think that's absolutely correct. And so I want to speak to that a little bit today, how we can, well, pay more attention to the many different ways that God speaks to us and how actively involved He is in our lives all the time. You know, I have to admit, I want God to speak to me. Often when I'm in prayer, I anticipate and look forward to some sense of His presence and wanting to hear His words filter into my heart. Well, that's important, that's good, and from time to time that does happen, which is very powerful. And also we go to Scripture, and Scripture likewise is filled with God's Word, God's voice. That's one of the reasons that we believe that all Scripture is inspired by God, why we want people to go to the Scriptures, because when we go there, we can encounter God. I think that's very important. I love to read Scripture and have had the opportunity in my life to read a lot, and I think this is a very important way that we begin to bring God's Word into our heart. But then we've got to go beyond that to recognizing that God often speaks to us through the circumstances of our lives, what's going on in the day-to-day, whether it seems like a trial or a victory, that often it's our God, the Lord, who is involved in that in order to not only minister on our behalf, but also to speak to us. I find that God also speaks through the voices of other people. And so I need to pay attention that when people are saying things that I don't just, you know, pass over it quickly and fail to recognize that it could be the Lord involved in that. Also, the various serendipities of life, little circumstances that occur that many times I don't pay attention to, but all of a sudden, if I reflect on it, if I do what we talked about the last time about St. Ignatius and having a prayer of examine, all of a sudden I recognize that some of these little serendipities are actually God in some way speaking into my life, giving me direction, or if nothing else, assuring me of His love. Now again, if I'm so busy and preoccupied that I'm not seeing this, well, I can miss a lot of what God is doing. 30 years ago is a long time, but I happen to remember a sermon that came from Dr. Dennis Kinlaw at a conference that was in Orlando, Florida, that I had an opportunity to attend, and actually I did a workshop at. And you'd think after 30 years I wouldn't remember a particular sermon, but I remember this sermon very, very well. Dr. Kinlaw was preaching and talking about Jesus, and also that God often sends us love notes, and we don't recognize them as love notes. And if we're a little more open, a little more attentive, a little more aware, we suddenly see that God is in this, and He's somehow speaking. Now, the text that Dr. Kinlaw was speaking from was Luke chapter 22. Now, in this text, you know that Judas has already agreed to betray Jesus. And Jesus has gone to Gethsemane, and there He has cried out before the Father, and particularly that amazing Gethsemane prayer. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And the Bible says that Jesus was there in great anguish and that angels came to strengthen him, primarily because his friends didn't show up, they were sleeping. But then the text says this, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? And when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. Now, the earlier gospel tells us that that someone was Peter, and that the name of the guard was Malchus. And so Peter quickly reaches out, pulls out his sword, and cuts off the servant's ear. And all of a sudden it says that Jesus says no more of this. And somehow he took the man's ear and he touched it to the side of his head and healed him. The Bible then says that Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come to him, am I leading a rebellion that you come with swords and clubs? And then he goes on and he is taken through the rest of the passion, where Peter, of course, denies him. And then he's tried and found guilty and travels down the Via Dolorosa. And then eventually he is crucified. Now, when Dennis Kinlaw was preaching this, and he said he was going to talk about love notes from God, I had a hard time figuring out how this little story had anything to do with love notes from God. But boy, Dennis Kinlaw was a masterful preacher, absolutely masterful. And all of a sudden he talks about, just imagine what had happened. So the high priest sends his servant to be part of this arrest, and he's going to expect the high priest to come back and to give a report. How did it go? What happened? Did you have any trouble? And so forth. And so here's this high priest who suddenly has his ear cut off. And obviously, as Dennis Kinlaw said, with the ear cut off, blood would come out. It would have trickled down his neck, caught onto his robe in some places. And then all of a sudden, Jesus touches his ear and it's healed. Now, Dennis Kinlaw said, imagine now the servant comes back and the high priest said, so how did everything go? Did you have any trouble? And the man said, well, I guess not. We have him here. He's under arrest. And all of a sudden, the high priest says, what happened to you? And now the servant has to tell. Well, actually, one of the men reached out and cut off my ear with a sword. And Jesus picked it up and put it back on, and he healed me. Now, what Dennis Kinlaw spoke to in this was the possibility that God was wanting to speak not only to the servant, but he was wanting to speak to the high priest. Could it have been a love note, Dennis Kinlaw said, that the high priest would see that Jesus was the Son of God, that this power that he had did flow from the kingdom, and that just maybe that God was wanting the high priest to know, you're making a mistake. And Dennis Kinlaw called that a love note from God. And that God often sends us these love notes through the day-to-day circumstances of our lives, through serendipities, to let us know he's there, to also move us forward in the kingdom, to help us to do things, great and small, that grow out of this whole notion that God is always active. Now, as I think of love notes from God, I have to be honest and think about love notes from my wife. For years, she's had this wonderful gift that she gives me, that if she's gone away or if I've gone away, there are always love notes hidden somewhere in the most unexpected places. On my pillow when I pull back the covers, in my drawer when I'm getting dressed in the morning, downstairs as I open cupboard in order to get cereal, out there will be a love note. They're always around reminding me that I'm on her mind, that she loves me, and that we will soon be reconciled together in not too long a period of time. And they've been wonderful, and I've enjoyed these for years and years and years. No, I'm sorry, I Can't say that I do the same for her, but boy, she always does it for me. And they lift my heart, and I love it when it's unexpected. And sometimes even years later, I will open a book that I may have been reading back then and haven't read since, and there it is, a love note from my wife that encourages my heart. What Dennis Kinlaw was saying is that if we open our eyes, and of course, as Ralph Waldo Emerson was saying, and if we open our ears, suddenly we'll find that God is speaking to us in the most amazing ways in order to guide us and to direct us and to be present to us and also to let us know of his great, incredible love. One of the individuals that's had a profound effect on my own spiritual journey is a man named John Wimber. John Wimber was very anointed of the Lord. He wrote several books. Of course, two of the most important are Power Evangelism and Power Healing. And he was a central figure in the growth of the Vineyard movement. And he believed in a very dynamic presence of the Holy Spirit that moves us and guides us, and that God wants to use all of us in that way. And if we would only open our hearts, we would find that God is always speaking to us to encourage us to step out in faith in order to do things that we may not have our mind on. Now, the problem is many of us are so preoccupied, our lives are so noisy, that we fail to really hear the love notes of God. We fail to hear those gentle directions from God. But if we would move on them, all of a sudden we would find there's something very exciting about God speaking to us for us to move forward. John Wimber used to say that we have to learn to act on the nudges of God. I like that. Act on the nudges of God, those gentle impressions that we get. Call someone. Go over and encourage someone. Speak to someone. And that when those nudges come, if we act upon them, all of a sudden we would begin to see the kingdom of God unfold in front of us. Well, I think that's a very powerful principle. And I bet you today in your life, there is somewhere where God is wanting to give you a love note, some blessing, great or small, but also a nudge that is really the Holy Spirit encouraging you to move forward. Now, if you're busy, like I often am, I end up dismissing that nudge or saying that could only be me and not moving ahead to do it. But when I do, it's amazing how God unfolds and opens up a great possibility. Now, I want to tell you about something that happened just this last weekend. I was in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. I was doing a seminar that I do. It's a two-day seminar called When Storm Clouds Rise. It's about how opposition rises, often at the very time when we're seeing God do exciting things in our lives. And often this opposition makes it difficult. And so I was talking about that. Mechanicsburg is a very special place. I've probably been there 7 or 8 times at the church, the Mechanicsburg Brethren in Christ Church, great people that are there. Lane Lebo is the senior pastor. If you live in that area and you're looking for a church, make sure you think about it, because it's a wonderful church that preaches the gospel, is profoundly impacting people's lives for the kingdom. But anyhow, I was there to do this seminar, and we had about 100 folks come, and it was great. Now, in one particular break, well, let me back up and say this. They had a great worship team that was there. Every time they led in worship, I was just captured by how wonderful they were, how much they took us into the presence of God. And they had these great singers. So at one particular break, I went out to get a drink. And as I was hurriedly going back and people were coming out to get some refreshments, I saw this young woman as she passed me. I thought, oh, she's on the worship team. And I simply said to her, hey, you're a great singer. Thank you. And I kept on walking by. Now, as I went in to sit down and to start to work on my notes, all of a sudden I began to think, you know what? I just told somebody they were a great singer, but I'm not sure they were really on the worship team. Oh, no big deal. Don't worry about it. But it kind of worked on me. And I felt this nudge of the Holy Spirit to go find her in the midst of the crowd and to tell her you were sorry. I was sorry. So I did. I went out and I finally found her. She was over getting a cup of coffee and I tapped her on the shoulder and I kind of smiled and said, you know what? I just told you a great singer and I'm sure you are, but I thought you were on the worship team and I just wanted to say I'm sorry about not stopping to talk to you and realizing that actually, you're not on the worship team. And she was very gracious, and she smiled, and she said, well, maybe you've blessed me. I would love to be a great singer. I just don't think I am one. And so I asked her her name, and she gave me her name, and I thanked her for coming to the seminar, and I got about ready to turn, and she said to me, may I talk to you for a moment? And I said, sure. And she began to tell me about the fact that within the last year, she and her husband had lost their only child, a newborn, and that she had gone through a very, very difficult time. And she wanted to talk about that, and it gave me a wonderful opportunity to share some thoughts and to talk to her about getting into a group of people that could support her, and it was really a powerful moment. And she ended up telling me that she in no way would have ever come up to talk to me. And yet the fact that this little, quote, mistake took place gave her the courage to go ahead and to say what was on her heart. And we had this amazing exchange. And God gave me a wonderful opportunity to talk to her and to minister to her and be blessed by her. And I was deeply touched. And I began to think about that if I hadn't sensed this nudge of the Holy Spirit to go back and, well, kind of correct my own mistake, I would have missed this opportunity, an opportunity that she admitted she wouldn't have taken herself. Later on, I was sitting in the back during a ministry time, isolated by myself, when all of a sudden a young man came, and it turned out to be her husband. And he then shared how they wouldn't have come and talked to me, but how this occasion opened the door. And he sat there and he shared his own agony and his heartache. And I was able to minister to him and encourage him to get some help. And it was this wonderful moment that all grew out of what, well, it was a mistake. And yet, in the midst of this mistake, the Lord nudging me to move forward and to, if you will, make this right, became a serendipitous moment of God doing something very, very special. Out of the circumstances of a situation, the nudge of God opened the door for kingdom ministry. Now, God wants to use all his children. He wants to use you. And if we're open today and we keep ourselves a little bit more in tune and aware, we can find that there are many different ways that God speaks to us, and that in speaking to us, it can encourage our hearts. Now, I know this may sound silly, and I think I've shared this story before, but I was going to do a seminar down in Columbus not too many months ago, and I was just struggling a bit, and I was sitting in the parking lot with Sherry, and we were praying, and I was talking about how I just didn't feel right on the knife's edge, if you will, of ready for this. And so we began to pray, and all of a sudden I looked and I began to laugh. And she said, what is it? I said, look. And three geese walked right in front of the car, stopped for a moment, and then moved on by. And I said, it's almost as if the Father is using these three geese to remind me that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are here with me. And we both laughed, and yet it encouraged my heart, and I was able to go in with a sense that God was there, and God was doing something very, very special. And that love note from God made a great difference. Love notes from God. This is something that I want you to think about, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to simply open your own heart to be possibly more open to the ways in which God speaks to us every day through the circumstances of our lives. Now, I want to close by going to a scripture that's so familiar, but I'd like to read it in light of what we've been talking about today. It comes from Romans 8. Verse 28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of God. Now, the key to this scripture is the little phrase, all things. We know that God works for the good in all things. Works for the good. Now think about that. God is working for your good. And he works through all things. Does he work through difficult things? Absolutely. Good things? Of course. Victories? Without question. Defeats? Yeah, God's there too. In all of life, God is present and he's working in order that we might experience his presence and his power. If we could only understand that God is way more present to our lives than we would imagine. He's not off in a distant place, transcendent to such a degree that he doesn't touch our day-to-day existence. God is involved with us every day in every way. I'm going to pray for you that God would open your awareness and that you would become conscious of the fact that in this day, he is seeking to speak to you, to encourage you, and also to nudge you to do ministries that you may have never been willing to do. Take the risk of faith. Go ahead at the nudge of God. And all of a sudden, you might have a serendipitous interruption that could shape your day in ways you would never believe. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that you do open our eyes and you do open our understanding, and you help us to experience and to be present all the amazing things that you do and how you're deeply and intricately working for the good of your children. Bless us all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.